Blog Talk Radio.
This is Busted Pencils Radio. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Jed Hopkins. Now, let's bust some pencils.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Busted Pencils Radio. It is Wednesday, April 22nd. Special time today, Jed.
Yeah.
Not Sunday night.
No.
At 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock.
Lunchtime.
It is lunchtime, right? I'm making Jed work over lunch, everybody.
And there's no such thing as a free lunch.
But hey, we've got a special show that we want to do. Particularly our guest who's already in the green room enjoying the luxuries that we provide in the green room of Busted Pencils, Anthony Cody, Network Public Education. Matt, big weekend this weekend, and so we said, hey, we got to let Anthony tell those listeners to the Busted Pencil show what's happening. I mean, it can't be fully led at education talk if there's about to be something major happening this weekend. So, Anthony, I'm glad you're up from the green room. I'm glad you're feeling better. Hopefully you didn't have too much of the cheese that we offer.
I told you, people, no green M&Ms.
You are one of the toughest riders that we get, and we always tell the staff downstairs to make sure that Anthony does not have green M&Ms. But, hey, Anthony, welcome to the show. Hello, and how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Listen. We are great, but so major happening this weekend. The Network for Public Education is holding its conference in Chicago, and so what do we need to know?
Well, this is probably in just 1 year has become the premier event for the resistance movement, resisting the corporate takeover of public education. So last year we had our first annual conference in Austin, Texas. We had about 400 people show up, and you know we really built a lot of energy, made a lot of connections, which I think have really carried through this year and helped the movement grow. You know, we met a lot of us only know one another from online. And from reading one another's work or seeing each other on Twitter. And there's something very special about meeting people face-to-face, having a chance to hear them talk, having a chance to sit down for a beer. There's just something that you can't accomplish through Internet communication, as wonderful as that can be. So we're doing it again in Chicago. We've gone to sort of the epicenter of a lot of the movement right now, where the Chicago Teachers Union has been shaking things up for the last few years, and Karen Lewis is going to close us out on Sunday afternoon. And if you're listening to this and thinking, well, I can't make it, so it's not relevant to me, we have been working to set up live streaming. And so even if you can't make it to Chicago, if you have an Internet connection, and I assume you do if you're listening to this, then you can tune in starting at 8:30 a.m. Central Time on Saturday. G2 Brown and Tanisha Brown, G2's from Chicago, a community activist. Tanisha Brown is a high school senior from Newark, New Jersey, who's a secretary of the Newark Student Union. The two of them are going to kick us off on Saturday morning, 8:30 Central. Then there's going to be workshops, and we're going to be live streaming two or three workshops all day long on Saturday, in between the keynote speeches. So
there's no reason to jump on an airplane at this point if you haven't made a reservation and you can't get downtown. There's no reason to say though, I can't, I'll miss it because we,
right.
The network, you, the sponsors have provided a way to allow people to participate at least through the internet through a live stream. In fact, I hear there's an amazing live stream on Sunday at 11:40 dealing with teacher education that a lot of
That's
people
right.
might want to pay attention.
Tim session
yeah.
will be live streamed. I'm just hunting for
yeah,
the
yeah,
list.
Yeah, Tim Slecker and Jed Hopkins and people that are right there. So, but no, that was great, and I was really surprised to get that. But Jed, you had a question for Anthony.
Yeah, well, Anthony, I was at the conference last year, and I was just struck by the energy. I've been to a lot of conferences. I've been to a lot of education conferences, and there was something about the spirit of the conference in Austin, Texas last year. I'm wondering if you concur with that.
Yeah, well, you know, I think the teaching profession and public schools, whether you're a student or a teacher or a parent, it's really been under attack. And if you go to most professional conferences, what you'll see is mostly actually a lot of compromise and capitulation to the dominant paradigm, you know, and mm-hmm. maybe with a few, you know, there, you know, if you go to ERA or something like that, there, I'm sure there's some sessions that where people are talking about resistance, but the entire thrust of the NPE conference is trying to figure out ways to defend and support public education. There's sessions on social justice unionism. There's sessions on organizing parents. There's going to be student activists from Chicago and Newark. I just heard from Sean Johnson's mother. I think he's going to be there. The whole spirit is you know, this conference is not underwritten by Microsoft or Pearson. Hmm. You won't see trade booths for the latest Common Core whiz-bang curriculum. You know, instead, right. you'll see people who are, you know, you'll see teachers of conscience who have gone to their school board and declared that they refuse to give the standardized tests. You'll see grassroots activists from Indiana, from Florida, from all over the country who are strategizing, talking about how do we push back against the efforts to turn all of our public schools into charters. These are the people doing the work across the country, and there's an energy when those people come together and start learning together that you really can't find in a typical academic or professional conference.
Yeah, so we are talking to Anthony Cody, Busted Pencils Radio, fully led at Education Talk. If you want to jump in, it is a call-in show. It's 323-870-4076. That's 323-870-4076. But Anthony, I'm going to echo what Jed said. When I brought Jed there for the first time last year, as I kind of made that transition from the traditional higher education conference presenting papers to each other, the idea of moving to a more activist where, you know, my group, United Opt Out, put together the Occupies, where, as you said, you meet these people who are fighting things across the country and you start to realize the solidarity that you truly have with each other. Because I would say one of the biggest things that I get out of the network and all of these is the fact that it can sometimes feel like the resistance is very, you're very lonely sometimes being a resistor because, you know, there's three of us in here in Pennsylvania or five in Wisconsin, seven there, but the network gives us that opportunity to meet with each other. I mean, was that your idea behind that too?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of, you know, the network, the organization is a fairly lightweight organization. You know, we do not have a big staff. You know, but what we tried to figure out is what are some things that we can do that sort of nobody else can do. And part of that is because Diane Ravitch is our president, and her blog and she herself has such a wide reach that she's able to sort of serve as a one-person focal point for the movement. And And we really tried to take advantage of that and leverage that to say, okay, here's the spotlight that this one person can help create. Let's build around that. We have somebody who's standing tall, who isn't who isn't being controlled by money, and who's able to speak freely, and that's kind of what we've done is leverage that to create spaces where the resistance can gather, and that's what we're going to be doing this weekend.
Yeah, I like that, Jed.
Yeah, I was just thinking, is this? I mean, the way you're describing it, it sounds like, in a way, such an obvious thing to do, such a sensible thing to do, to bring people together like this. Has there ever been anything like this in the history of American public ed?
That's a good question. Presumably the first teachers' unions, were grassroots organizations that came together to address the needs of teachers. We're in a modern era of corporate hegemony over just about everything, and so I can't think of a comparable thing that's I think this movement is a new movement, is a new social movement that we didn't have in the 60s and 70s. The social movements in the 60s and 70s had different focuses, and so I think there is something new with the education, with education being that point that point at which people are really coming up against an effort to control our lives in a way that we didn't before, that we never did in the 60s or 70s. When I was in school in the 70s, there was sort of an alternative schools movement, which was resisting the traditional ways of education. So there were, there's been progressive education movements, over the last century, but I think the way that this movement has developed and sort of gotten politicized, I think is new.
Yeah, Alfie Cohn, when you just talked about that, over the past 100 years, there have been movements, progressive education particularly, Alfie kind of says, though, if you want to tell the story of the past 100 years in American education, Skinner won and Dewey lost. And maybe that's an oversimplification, but I would say even though, too, we look at the past 30 years, not only has Dewey lost, but I think we're trying to decimate and get rid of the whole idea of any type of progressive education. And so, Anthony, I like this, calling it, the resistance. And so, and there are different groups too that are going to be at the conference that make up the resistance. You've got Fair Test. You've got, my other organization, United Opt Out. I mean, these are groups of resistors that are coming together. This is a long way to get to this question, though. We were talking about this the other night. Is it getting to the point, though, that we are creating enough noise, this resistance, that it is starting to become fearful? Because yesterday, Mr. Duncan, Arnie himself, decided again that he should open his mouth and say, look, if you opt-outers don't stop it, we may have to step in.
Yeah, well, I think the opt-out has really raised the ante for the whole resistance, in the sense that if you can actually jeopardize the mechanics of the operation, then that's bringing resistance to a new level. It's one thing for us to show up on the White House lawn with 5,000 or 6,000 people and shout a bit. It's another for the test to be rendered really difficult to interpret, for the data to be almost useless because so many students are opting out. And I think that's one reason why we've had some breakthroughs in recent weeks where, for the first time in a long time, Chris Hayes featured some folks from the opt-out. John Merrow, his coverage has definitely shifted. We have, you know, the faithful sort of interpretation by the establishment media, like the New York Times, is still attempting to spin this as being dissatisfied teacher unions. You know, that's
right.
Makes it very easy to dismiss this as self-interested teachers who don't want to be held accountable. But, you know, teachers are not the ones telling the students to opt out for the most part. Most of the students who are opting out are doing so because they're realizing these tests are really against their interests. When 70% of the students are not proficient, when the tests are set up to be used for high school graduation in future years, this is going to be a real disaster for the students. And they're smart enough to see that, and I think that's really what's driving a lot of the opt-out now, is less the teachers and more the students getting savvy about what's on the horizon with this.
Yeah, I mean, the students are savvy, the parents are savvy, and that's been the driving force behind opt-out. What about I always think, you know, the group that seems to be usually missing in these kinds of things is the group that you might call the administration, the principals, the superintendents. What do you think might be their presence in a conference like this?
There are some administrators. There are some school board members who are participating. I'm doing a panel on getting your book published, and John Kuhn, the superintendent from Texas, is going to be on my panel with me.
Cool.
So there's some, definitely, who have been outspoken. And, you know, they're in a much even, well, I don't know if you'd say they're more vulnerable than teachers, but they're certainly in a vulnerable position due to the pressures they're under, and most of them sort of serve at the pleasure of their administration. So I think it's difficult for a lot of them to speak out.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think one of the things, you know, John Kuhn, and when you say superintendent, we should emphasize super, because John's obviously a totally different breed. You know, and Jed and I, and we've spent time too talking, you know, there are some people, at principals, Troy LaRivier, you know, in Chicago, mm-hmm. we've talked to him on our radio show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're giving us, I like to think of Troy and Sean, I mean, John and other administrators as hopefully leading the way for more administrators to recognize that this is their opportunity. But, you know, I guess that's the network for conference. I mean, you know, this is 2 years, so this is going to be year two for the conference. How much bigger has the network gotten since last year?
Well, we'll see on Saturday. I'd say, you know, we're expecting probably over 500 people in Chicago. And, you know, so that's, I guess, 20 or 25% bigger. We're building in terms of the number of people that watch on the live stream. We did an event in the fall last year, which we live streamed. Last year when we did the live stream, it was a new idea, and we only had about, you know, I don't know, a few hundred people tune in. We had many more tune in Brooklyn, and we expect more people to tune in this weekend to the live stream. So that's another way we have impact. We did mobilize for the people to write letters when the ESEA has been under consideration. We sent something like 10,000 letters to Congress, opposing annual testing and in the reauthorization of ESEA. So we've been active in mobilizing. We've also raise money for candidates that are running for office and mobilize support, you know, through our endorsements of candidates, always, you know, siding with the more underfunded populist type candidates who are taking on the big money interests that have been trying to take over public schools.
Mm-hmm. And Anthony, while I just remember it, if people want to see the live stream, what's the easiest way for them to do that? Google NPE Chicago.
Well, if they go to the networkforpublicEducation.org is our website, and there'll be a link there. Schoolhouselive.org is the host site for the live stream. We have a teacher, special ed teacher from Los Angeles, named Vincent Precht, and he has been volunteering to do all of our video for us. And he does a fantastic job. He has all his own equipment, and all we have to do is fly him there, and he's 100% volunteer. And that's the way all of our operations work. You know, we get donations from people around the country to cover the basic expenses, but, you know, all the people that are doing the work to organize the conference and put it on, we're all volunteers. We're not getting paid at all.
Right. Well, it's...
I want to ask a question. This is an impossible question for you to answer.
Uh-oh.
But if I get to go to NPE and I have, you know, an hour and a half on Saturday and I could pick any time, I mean, where should I go? What's the one event I should not miss? What's the one session? Who's the one speaker that I absolutely need to see?
I'm not going to just tell you one person but let me give you a few highlights.
All right.
First of all, if you can catch the opening, G2 Brown and Tanisha Brown are going to be really phenomenal in kicking us off, and they're going to really bring a lot of energy and spirit. The keynotes. On Saturday, the other keynote is Yang Zhao will be speaking at 1:30, and he's always really interesting to hear. He just published a book. Actually, his speech is called "Fatal Attraction: America's Suicidal Quest for Educational Excellence." So that should be really interesting.
It's a great title. Wow.
Yeah, there's also going to be a student panel on Saturday morning, which will be really phenomenal. And that will be broadcast on Sunday. Diane Ravitch is going to be doing a special interview with Randy Weingarten and Lily Eskelson Garcia starting at 10:25. And going for about an hour. So that should be really interesting. Karen Lewis on Sunday afternoon at 1:30. She's gonna kind of close out the whole... I'm sorry, at 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, Karen Lewis will close out the whole event. So that'll be really interesting to see. So those are some of the highlights, and then there'll be a bunch of other workshop sessions. We're just finalizing the list of sessions that are going to be live streamed, and we'll be sharing that soon.
So this is a non-miss event, if in any way possible, for anybody. So what you've just said right there's no choice. There are multiple choices, and whichever one you make, it's going to be a good one. Anthony, I know you're about ready. I know. Plane. When are you leaving? Tonight? Tomorrow?
Tomorrow morning, yeah. One more thing. Mercedes Schneider is going to be talking about writing and publishing her book Saturday afternoon. That'll be live streamed. So that should be interesting. I know she has a lot of fans out there.
Right. Well, as I say, a lot of good stuff. And, you know, again, speaking from Jed
and
I, from
bats. The bats are going to be right.
And you know what happens when the bats get in the house.
A couple of their sessions are going to be broadcast. Bats and social justice is definitely going to be broadcast, and I'm not sure, there might even be another bat session that will be broadcast.
It sounds like a great weekend. I know Jed and I and our colleagues are heading down Friday night here from Wisconsin. Hopefully we can catch up with you, Anthony, say hello, maybe even have an adult beverage to relax. But
yep.
I do want to say thank you for coming on the show. And I want to say thank you to the network and you and Diane and for all the other people that are really putting in the time and effort to make this conference, because as Jed and I have really come to say, it's been a conference that's renewed our hope and sense of what a academic / resistance / conference / advocacy about the nature of the work we do as public educators should be about. And so thank you for all of those things.
All right. Well, thank you for all your work. It's a pleasure to talk to you again.
All right, Anthony. We will see you on Friday night.
Take care, Anthony.
All right. See you there.
So, Jed, there it is.
Yeah, I'm excited already. I got so much energy from the last one.
Yeah, I remember seeing you there last year. Like, you were I don't know which session to go to.
But it felt like I hadn't been to an education conference until I went to the one last year. It was like, this is a conference where people are really talking about education.
Right.
And then, they're talking about it in a way that is moving and vital. And those aren't two words that normally come to mind when you think about it.
Educational conference.
Typically, no. Right, right. Right.
Yeah.
Regrettably, I mean, that's not.
We're overgeneralizing because I've been to sessions at NCSS, CUFA, at AERA that have been absolutely stimulating with some amazing people.
But there is something about this conference, and it's the mix of people, because you've got, as Anthony was telling us, you've got students. You've got, of course, you've got activists, you've got teachers, you've got community leaders, and you've got academics, and we're all equal. We're all passionate about education.
Right. Well, and that's the key right there is that you bring together. And in fact, this is what makes public education so vital.
Yeah.
When people say, "Oh, the public education democracy line," that's just a bunch of crap that makes you guys feel important. Listen to what you just said. You know, the community leaders, the students that are there, the teachers that are there, the academics that are there, okay? Look, that's the community. That is the democracy. Public education is a foundation of democracy.
Yeah.
And this conference represents a restoration, at least, of trying to, or as Anthony's saying, a resistance against people saying, you can take our democracy away, you can take our public schools away. We're saying, no, you can't. That's not saying that we can't do a better job with schools, because we can. And in fact, part of the effort of NPE is to recognize that schools have been sidetracked during these times from doing the best they can to reaching the hardest to reach students, because we've been sidetracked.
Yeah.
You know, and so I look forward, if you're going to be at the network, look for Jed and I on Sunday, but look for us all during the day. We're going to be there. We're going to have a little handheld. We're going to try to get spot interviews with people to put on the our professional Busted Pencil show. I know, Jed, are you going to try again to videotape some people?
I'm going
to
give it a second shot.
Yeah. Okay, because if you were videotaped by Jed last year and you were wondering when that was going to appear.
You may have looked good.
Yeah, you may have looked good, but we could not hear you. And it wasn't your fault. I'll just say.
Enough said.
Jed had technical difficulties.
I sure did.
Okay. But hey, we really appreciate you listening to the show. Again, Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk. Make sure if you want to continue to get our updates and our newsletters that we're sending out, our trending news twice a week, make sure you go to bustedpencils.com. Once you're at bustedpencils.com, visit the features, check out what Matt Damon's mom had to say about poverty. Take a look, you know, what's some of our moments of zen, you name it, it's there. You know, look at we have a link to all of these podcasts that we've been doing now for the past 2 months. You know, we've had some great podcasts. I had a great interview the other night with Peggy Robertson from United Opt Out. That's one you surely want to go and check out again. Our interview with Principal Troy LaRiviere from Chicago. Absolutely excellent. People continue to download that episode, you know, and the Peggy episode more than any other episodes. And then when we talk to our students, our fourth grader and our sixth grader,
I know.
Right?
Beautiful.
You know?
Yeah. So hopeful.
So yeah. Check those out. And again, follow the, you know, BustedPencils.com. Follow the show on Twitter at BustedPencils. Follow me at Slecker. And until next time.
Ciao for now.
And keep busting
pencils.